In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning, everyone, and welcome, everyone, as we come all together again in a beautiful day, a beautiful reading, a beautiful season as we are preparing and getting closer and closer to the Nativity and the celebration and getting into that mood. And with that, church always reminds us of what is needed from us. What is needed from us, you know? Again, the question that we always ask and always say, like, why are we here, right? Why are we here? And when we look at the Gospel of St. Mark, you see we've been studying St. Mark for the last how many months now? And we're up to only chapter 12 on Friday night. But if you look at the Gospel of St. Mark, it's all about the seed. It's all about the word. It's all about the teaching. From the beginning of the Gospel, where he says that this is the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And then St. Mark always kind of repeats that main theme, which is he went out to teach. He was teaching, and by teaching he's healing, and by healing he's teaching, and it's all together. But in order to come at one point and see what a result for that teaching, a result of the teaching. And that's why in the passage that we read today, Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 8, and then after He was saying the parable of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, and in verse 8 that it says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And amazingly also the church in the wisdom of the church, starting with the Gospel of the Vespers last night, actually the Gospel of yesterday, last night, is actually explaining the Gospel that will be read today. So kind of like being kind of ahead of the game, I said, okay, you guys are going to come in tomorrow and you might not be aware of what is happening. So here is what's going to happen. And that's why we always again encourage and say, please, please, please read the readings before you come. Just kind of be aware of what's happening. What is the message? Right? So we're not just like, oh, well, I probably heard this Gospel before sometime. But if you read it before coming, that is part of the prepping, part of being here. So the Gospel of the Vespers yesterday, Mark 4, he talking about the from 10 to 20. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And then he goes on, and then he goes on verse 14. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside. The sower sows, the seed is the word. The seed is the word. It comes very, very clear, and the church is kind of like, you know, explaining it already for us. So there's nothing that I need to do today. It's all explained and all known. And that parable is already learned and read, and we probably, you know, have it by heart already for that. But when I was looking at that verse, "He who has ears, let him hear," right? I was looking at that and contemplating about it more and more, and then came to my mind a story that happened to us in one of our trips. I think it was the first trip that we went to Africa back in 2012. And we were in Tanzania, and then we were had a big group, 35 or so. And then part of the service was medical campaign. And when we talk about medical campaign, it's really busy. You go from like the morning, from maybe start from 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, and we don't quit till it's dark. Then we don't see anything and we can't work. So, you know, that's it. We kind of like push people to go back home. But in the midst of that, you know, one of our missionaries kind of gets very, very fiery and very excited. And then people are lining up and we're still prepping and everything. So I start to grab the megaphone and start to like, I'm going to preach till we start. And people are sitting, so we might as well talk to them. So I start to talk and start to get so, you know, fiery and so loud and start to go on and on and on and on, not knowing that actually what he's doing was right outside the room of the bishop, who sleeps late in the morning, so he's trying to get a couple hours of sleep. And then all of a sudden, this guy is outside the room and screaming and yelling for 2 hours. So he came out finally and said, like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm preaching." He goes, "They don't know the language." "You've been preaching for 2 hours and getting so excited, and this is in the villages. They don't speak English. They don't speak their own language. And what we're doing doesn't help anything. It's actually, you know, made the bishop angry, which is not good." So it came to my mind when I was looking at this and reading this verse again, because "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." How can we hear unless we know the language? As simple as that. You know, again, if I'm giving the sermon in Arabic now and we have people who are not Arabic speaking, you know, it's not going to help. Like, you know, why should I stay here? Right? If we don't know the language, we will never be able to hear. Or we will hear something according to our own. Or what we hear will be actually a reason for us to say something totally different. Right? Same thing again happened, you know, after a long, you know, medical campaign day, and I have one of the locals translating for me, and you know, at the end of the day, he said, "Okay, Father, I think I need to check with one of the doctors now. I was in the pharmacy." So he did that, and then going and coming back with his prescription, and then I'm trying to explain to him, I'm a pharmacist by trade, so, and then he looked at me like, "I don't understand, like, wait a minute, what have you been doing for the last 8 hours? You know, you've been trying to translate to people, and you don't even know what you're talking about." It sounds silly, right? But actually, that's what we do. If you kind of apply all this in our lives, again, with that question, do we know the language or not? Do we know his language or not? And I think maybe that's why we're not able to hear, because his language is foreign to our ears. It doesn't hit a chord. It doesn't say, okay, this is exactly what I'm waiting for, because we're speaking different languages. And I think it's time today, in order to recognize this and really, again, look at this verse again, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Okay, well, we all have ears, and if we have ears, we're supposed to hear. But again, what are we hearing? Is he speaking different language? Are we speaking different language? Most of the time, yes. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but most of the time, we are not on the same wave. Right? So what is his language? What is his language? From the readings that we have today, kind of point out three things real quick. Number one, in 2 Corinthians, the Pauline epistle, chapter 9 and verse 8, talking about the blessings and talking about the things that they will take and send to the churches that are in need. And then in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 9, 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." That's, by the way, the exact part that we pray in the liturgy. It's taken from here. Pay attention to that. Always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. First thing, it is a language of abundance. Language of giving. Language of grace. Language of, you know what, I will give you everything. Not to worry. Not to entangle with too many things. But again, because we don't trust this, we don't know that language, we try to find that abundance by our own ways and on our own ways. And at the end of the day, we're not getting anything. We're not living that life of abundance, the better life that he's talking about in John. But here again, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. All grace abound. Language of grace. Do we know that? Do we trust it? Maybe not. And that's why we're not hearing, because he is saying, you know, I will continue to give. I am the only way that you can actually be able to stand in front of me and say, Abba, Father. But we try to do it on our own ways. And because of that, we're never able to live that life. We're never able to hear. He said, trust in me, I can do it for you. Like, no, I don't think so. You know, I've been struggling with this thing for the last whatever years, whatever my age is, right? And I've been trying to conquer it. We'll talk about this later. But I don't trust that you can get me out of this. And I try to make it on my own. And we come back and say, well, it's too hard. We're not able to live that life. Because we're not hearing, we don't know the language. We don't know the language. Number one, language of abundance. Number two, it doesn't always continue to be nice, right? Language of warning. Language of warning. Be careful, be aware. And that's why the Catholic epistle today, the passage that we probably all know, James 3, talking about what we say, the tongue, what we speak, right? James 3, from 1 to 12. Do not, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. And then talks about Verse 3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts a great thing. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Language of warning. Watch your tongue. Watch your mouth. And you look at this, like, what is the link? What is the connection between this particular passage and between the parable of the seeds of the sower? And you see, like, it's connected very, very well. Why? Because the word which is the seed, right, if we are not listening to it, if we're not hearing it, if we have ears but we're not able to hear, then it doesn't do anything. Then all what comes is what? From our own, not from his word. So then our words become what? A fire. How many times we said something to a person, said like, well, I should have bit my tongue. I don't know why I said that, right? How many times we say things to people and we really set a fire, whether in families, in relationships, spouses, husbands, wives, parents, children. How many times we said something and it's really set a fire. And then, like, we're not able to hear again. We're not listening to the language of warning. Be careful. Be careful. Because what you say will actually make a huge difference in what the heart is receiving. A language of warning. Be careful. And finally, third point is a language of conquering and fellowship. In the book of Acts, in the Praxis, beautiful, beautiful passage from Acts 10, from 37 into chapter 11, verse 1. But then there is a beautiful verse here which talks about in verse 41, so 10:41, not to all the people, but to witness chosen before by God. Here's passage of the part of St. Peter when he was talking. This is the same chapter where Cornelius was baptized. But then he goes that even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. After he arose from the dead. And then he goes on, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. A language of what? Of strength and of freedom, of liberty, of conquering. Language of fellowship with him, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. It said somebody like, Abuna, Father, we don't do that. Like, we how are we eating and drinking with him? That's why we're here today. That's what we do every time we come to the table. We have that fellowship. We're eating and drinking with him. A language of conquering. But again, like, we don't listen. Why? Because it's not according to what we think, what we believe. And we think and we believe that we know everything. And we think and we believe that, you know what, I don't need anybody to tell me. I know my language and that is enough. I don't need to know his language. But the end result is what? We all know it. We all know it. I'm the first. If I look into myself and see if I am really not listening to his word and I'm really living the life of peace, life of comfort, life of joy, life of being in the light, life of the resurrection that the gospel of matins in the morning, the power of the resurrection, or we are not. Or we are not. I'm afraid that we are stubborn, and we think we know the language, exactly like that fiery missionary that he thought that he was doing wonderful work, right? And grabbed the megaphone for 2 hours, yelling at people and screaming at people, and then at the end, he goes, we don't know your language. All what you did is you provoked the anger of the bishop. Let's come together and evaluate and see and examine ourselves and see, really, do we know that language or not? How many times you're reading the scripture? If we're reading, I hope we're reading the scripture every day. Every day. Does that language sound familiar to us or not? Like, well, I don't know what this is all about. Story about church father that his disciple went to him and said, you know what, Father, I read, I don't understand anything. He said, go read more. went to read more, came back again. I still don't understand. Well, go read more. Right? Finally, after how many times, so what is it now? Because I start to understand. So continue to read. Continue to read. But the first thing that said, we don't understand, it's not, it's irrelevant, it is so and so and so and so and so. And then our Bibles, our scriptures are what? Just collecting dust. And then we're concerned and we're wondering why we are not able to hear his voice. Like, we are not familiar with his language. We're not familiar with his language. What should we do in a practical way? Just one thing that I was thinking about. After knowing that his language is language of abundance, language of warning, and language of conquering and fellowship. One thing that came to my mind, which is a phrase that you probably see it and say it a lot without even paying attention. You know, when, if I'm talking to somebody and I want to make sure that this message went across, what would I say? I say, do you see what I'm saying? And they're like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. You know, I am asking you if you see what I'm talking, right? Have you thought about this before? Do you see what I'm saying? We always say it, right? But then like, wait a minute, it doesn't make sense. In the same way, when we say, you know what, I can't hear you because I don't have my glasses on, right? But the idea that actually our senses are all integrated together, our mind, our heart, our senses, our seeing, our hearing, our saying, everything is connected together. And if all those things are disconnected from him, the source of life, then we're never going to be able to do anything. I don't have to go and learn a new language from the beginning, but I have to sync everything together. I have to integrate everything together. Then I can see what he is seeing. Then I put on his lenses and then I can hear his voice. But the problem is we are all over the place. Right? Our heart somewhere, our mind somewhere, our body somewhere, our spirit somewhere, our emotion somewhere, our psyche somewhere. And at the end of the day, we're not able to know the language. Know the language. Just keep that question as you pray the liturgy. Do you know the language? Do you know the language? And if we don't, are we able to come today and pray and say, like, Lord, really, you know, enough, you know, being talking for hours with a megaphone and people are not understanding me, or you talking to me for hours and I still don't understand you because we are not on the same page. And this is how we grow. This is how we become fruitful. This is how the seed that the sower planted will multiply and will settle because it comes in a mind and a heart that actually understand the language. Understand the language. Maybe we don't, maybe we tried before, but I think this is time today, as we're praying the liturgy in the next half an hour, to kind of like put this in our heart. Put this in our heart. Lord, it's enough trying to decipher what you're saying. He said that the Holy Spirit will teach you everything. The Holy Spirit will teach you everything. The Holy Spirit is able and willing to teach us his language. And that's what St. Paul said, that we don't know what to pray with, but the Spirit will do what? Knowing you. And that's why we're able to say, Abba, Father, by the Holy Spirit. May God teach us a new language. And allow us really to have an ears that are open, and ears that really hear what he's saying. So all of us together can become a fruitful body that continue to bring fruit and bring people to him, the glory now and forever, to the ages of the ages. Amen.